Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome along to episode 24. Who would have thought, eh? Who would have thought we would have had an episode for every hour of a day? Just let that sink in. That's 24 we've done together. Have you been here for the whole 24? I have. So tell your friends. That sounded like an advert, didn't it? You find me. Yes, you find me in the middle of an illness. I have got... So that's the reason why there was only one episode last week. Due to an illness, which I'm continuing to push through. Because, there's illnesses and then there's you can get flu. And then, obviously there's the man flu, which is a... it is so hurtful to man that other people don't understand. Okay, animals can be in the forest and hear of a sufferer of man flu. No, but what I've got is tonsillitis. Sounds like a dinosaur with a sore throat. The streptococcus tonsillitis. But it's actually a disease. So it's no laughing matter. It's a disease. The whole family have it. We all went to the doctors together. Like the Beatles must have. When they came back from India that time. And they all had sore stomachs. But they, the kids have been off, haven't they? The kids have been off for 500 years, it feels like. They're little hobbits, basically. It's like we've just given them ecstasy tablets and they're just sprinting around at the moment. They are out of control. There is no rules at the moment. There is no routines. They are controlling me. So I went in and I got the... It's always weird, isn't it, in the doctor's waiting room. Where you have to sit there and you're looking around at other people going, I wonder, are they ill? Are they more sick than me? Am I sick? Why do I sit in here? I think what should happen is everybody should just walk outside in the fresh air rather than this room of kind of illness and disease and coughing and all that. So I sat there. And then the doctor brought me in. And I'll be honest with you, it was a short visit. I was expecting a bit more doctor love, a bit more kind of, how are you doing? I'm slightly interested in your life. But he gave me none of that. He was a busy doctor. He said, how are you? I said, I've got a sore throat. He went, yaha. And then he said, open your mouth. And then he said, put your tongue down, you idiot. You know that thing? I can't do that. When I open my mouth, my tongue kind of just flies up like a giraffe licking a lemon. I don't know if you've seen that YouTube video where they give a lemon to a giraffe and the lemon goes, it doesn't exist. I'm just trying to paint a picture. And then he did this amazing thing. He looked at my throat. And he just went, ugh, which I thought was a brilliant way of patient confidentiality there. That was brilliant doctor to patient natural reaction. You know, normally it's like, oh, I see. Yeah, okay. Yes, I get that. But the doctor was just in disgust at my throat, basically. and he produced this kind of ugh, the same noise as you know you get off the bus and you're walking along and it's maybe Sunday morning, big Saturday night, and then you see a little bit of somebody's been sick against the shop window and you look and you go ugh, and if you're with someone you obviously go, hey, oh no, don't look at that, and they look at that, you know. It's the same thing as opening a fizzy bottle of water, and it's going to fizzy up. It's going to fizzy, and instead of opening it, you take it away from yourself, don't you? Just in case it gets on you. It's almost like a bomb. It's like, hold this, you know. So yeah, it was a good reaction. It was like, ugh. But I've been doing gigs. I've been working through the pain. Oh, it's been tough, so bloody tough. Yeah, it's been. There is something about going on stage though, where you feel. I mean, it's an adrenaline rush, but I also medicate. Sounds a bit like Johnny Cash, but I medicate, so I take Panadol, or I drop my pills, yo. I drop my Alvedone. I drop the pills like 30 minutes before I know I'm going to be on stage, and for some reason I feel really good. Apart from a show I did in Halmstad, which I'm going to talk about a bit later on. What a teaser! We'll be back with you later on with some news about the Halmstad gig. Oh, have you been listening to the first half of the podcast? Yeah, I can't wait for the Halmstad news. So I did a show at Nordiska Museet. Beautiful, beautiful museum. If you're ever in Stockholm, go and see this museum. It's got a very much a kind of Harry Potter kind of feel. Is that right? Does that feel good for you, Swedes? Are you happy with that? You're not happy? You're before Potter? Okay. Really nice. Really nice place. And it was a company, but it was for a Star Wars theme. That was the theme. But no one really got into the feeling of Star Wars. I'll be honest with you. There's a few people, a couple of saw one lightsaber and a person with a beard who tried to look like Chewbacca. But apart from that, I don't know if they were supposed to be dressed up. But there was a Star Wars theme, right? And then the host, he dressed up as Yoda. And that was a bit awkward because he only had three fingers. I don't know if you know that about Yoda. I didn't know that. And then when he went to open the winners for the prizes, it was very difficult to open the envelope. I mean, you might not be laughing at that, but try it with three fingers the next time you have to open an envelope. Bit of a pointless bit of information, but you need more fingers than three, said ye. So that was one of the nights, and I enjoy the process. I don't know about you people. As a thing going to work, right? I don't know if you enjoy this. I don't know if going to work is an absolute pain in your ass, right? If it is, change it, yo. You got to change your life, yeah? Life is too short. No. I don't know if there's like a couple of ways for you to get to work. But one way I like is I do like walking to the tunnel banner, getting on, headphones on, and then going to the show. That's always very nice. Or travelling, you know. But I was really ill, so I had to get like taxis kind of. And I don't really like getting taxis too much. And I got in one of the taxis and I just said, oh mate, I'm going to have to sleep all the way there. And he was delighted, wasn't he? Of course he was. He was like a Swedish guy, old guy. Do you think he wanted to talk to me? Nah, he was delighted with it. He was like, this is the ideal pickup. I'm getting no noise from this person. This is perfect. So, and he put on some classical music. which I thought was slightly romantic. I don't know if you're listening, Bengt, taxi driver 07498, but that was a beautiful touch, that. I said I was a bit tired, and then he was like, yeah. I was, there was a part of me, Bengt, I'll be honest with you, where I thought I'd just wake up and I'd be covered in roses. You know? I thought maybe you'd sprayed some perfume and moved your seat right back to the back. So we were, and then we just stopped and you'd driven on the top of Hammarby overlooking the whole of Stockholm. And we spoke. We spoke all night. Nothing happened. We weren't willing. But it was a wonderful touch, that beautiful classical music. Talking of music, I watched the Super Bowl halftime show this morning. I don't get Super Bowl stuff. I don't really get American football, you know. Just don't get it. I'm a big sports person, you know. I actually do a football podcast. If you like football, and if you want to listen to more of my voice, you know, there's two other people, I do a podcast called Swedish Football Mafia. It's also on Acast and iTunes, so you can go for that. I don't feel you're running away from me, because I will find you. But if you like football, I do that. So I love football. You know, I love sports in general. I've been, you know, in New Zealand, we do this thing called the Cow Shit Derby, it's called, or Cow Pat Derby, where we have a football pitch and every square on the pitch, you buy it for charity, and then they let this cow go on, and when he does a bice, if it's in your square, you win money. I think you win meat, which seems a bit wrong, doesn't it? It's kind of like, in New Zealand, you always win meat for everything. You know, when you propose, you don't give them a ring, you give them like a lamb chop. Where it shits. What I've always been worried about is if the cow's got like dodgy stomach, or do they have two stomachs? I think they have two stomachs, don't they? And it does one of those spray ones, and it takes out like three or four kind of squares, then maybe you have to share the winnings or something. I don't know the rules, but I just know it's quite a crazy one. And we also did this pig's eye derby in New Zealand. This is all before the internet. You know, we didn't have much going on in our lives, and it's not all about animals. In some parts of New Zealand, it is. I'll be honest with you. There's just sheep, and people enjoy the love of the animal, shall we say? My thing with the pig's eye was they have pig's eyes, and then you throw them against the wall, and they stick, and then they kind of like go down the wall like a creepy eyeball spider, and then you have a finishing line. And that was one Sunday's entertainment for about 400 people every year, the Pig's Eye Derby. And I know there might be vegetarians and vegans really not enjoying this at all. And there might be people that eat pig and think, oh my goodness, this is not good. Oh my goodness, this is not good. But I'm just laying the facts, yeah? Laying the facts. And that was kind of weird. So I watched the Super Bowl halftime, which was Coldplay, and then Bruno Mars came on, and then Beyonce. Now, I really like Coldplay, but it's strange when you see someone like Beyonce as a performer, even like Bruno Mars. It was like Coldplay were like, da, 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 and then Bruno Mars and Beyonce were like, wa-da-da, wa-da-da. It was pretty amazing, actually. But it was a good show. I think what they do is they bring out this massive stage, and then they've got like 20 minutes. And I think people buy commercials. Not people, but big companies. and it's almost like a movie release day of like trade commercials, like $1 million, which is about 84 billion kroner for one ad, or some crazy money figure. I'm not good with money, as you can tell by that guesswork. So they do this. They do this bizarre kind of halftime. It's basically like going to watch Norrköping versus Hammarby, and then they bring out Jerry Williams at halftime, and he stands on a beer crate and sings old Elvis songs. It's a bit like that with three people with their phones flashing, you know. But it's all kind of such choreography that they bring out like young children playing for like fake violins, not for Jerry Williams, but for Coldplay. And then at the end, they had this thing where the whole crowd held up these things and it said, "Believe in love," or "Love, believe in love," which is quite a Coldplay kind of thing. If you don't like Coldplay, you don't like them. I know that sounds obvious, but it's like, if you don't like Beyonce, I don't really understand it, because Beyonce is kind of a superstar for me. It's like Madonna. You got to give her the thing that she's got, the hits, right? It's like U2. I'm a massive U2 fan, you know. I went around my house as a teenager. My mum would say, "Can you tidy your room?" And I'd be like Bono. I'd be like, "Where's the glory in tidying my room? Putting stuff away. Who do we save? What do we do? We must save the bread, mama." You know, so there was times when I was a bit kind of messed up in life, you know. And I have been this week. I've been ill, and then I did the two shows, right? I did these two shows, and then I went to Linköping Comedy Festival, right? First one they've ever done. Quite low scale, you know. And I did very much a work in progress show. I'd say not even in progress. An SG style show. Just kind of delayed and not really moving. It was just ideas. But the crowd, and it was at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And as a comedian, that's always kind of strange, because you're always so used to saying good evening, you know, instead of good afternoon. Or some would even say at midday at 12 o'clock, they'd still be saying good morning, you know. You're supposed to turn when it gets to 12. I think you're supposed to go good morning, good afternoon, you know. Good more afternoon. Good more often. And I did a show. There was a baby there, a 2.5 month baby called Cyrus with the double S. She definitely made sure I said that right. She was lovely, that lady. And then a 9-year-old who was the daughter of the organizer, Ben Kersley, who organized the festival, put a 9-year-old daughter in the front row there, who I then got an SMS, well, not from her, from Ben, saying she had a few questions.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Questions afterwards. Of course you did. I'm not a below the belt comic at all, but I can say stuff which would make a 9-year-old child think, wow, what's going on? I need to work out what does that mean. So hopefully she gets through that. But thank you to the audience that came to that festival, came to that show. It was at 12 o'clock, as we discussed. That is a tricky time. It's Lordag. It's 12 o'clock. Are you going to go out? Are you going to have lunch before? Or do you wait for lunch? I mean, you've had your cafe. Then you're going to a show. But some of you might be hungry. You can't have pre-lunch. So that was a lot of what people were thinking, you know? A lot of what people were thinking. But thank you for being patient as an audience, you know? And I think sometimes audiences love to see the jokes worked out, right? If you're listening to this podcast, you're obviously waiting for the jokes to happen, right? You're on the edge of your seat, awaiting laughter, okay? And hopefully, you get it delivered. Like, I bring it to you, yeah? I deliver it, and you sign for it. That's what you should do. Every laugh you get off this podcast, laugh you get. I was very self-deprecating in, I was self-medicated, but I was self-deprecated in Linköping. I apologize for that. What happens is when you're trying ideas and you don't really have the form of the gig, you don't really have the words that go together, you just say something. The thing with comedy is you've got to be interesting or funny, right? And it's easy to say something interesting, but don't back it up with laughter. And that's always a tricky time, right? So, thank you for being kind. Thank you for enjoying that. And then I went on to Halmstad. I went on a train to Lund, changed at Lund to Halmstad. Everything is flying. We're going well, aren't we, little SG? We're going well. And then, just stops, right? Just stops. And stops in Landskrona. Just stops. Not even in the platform. Outside Landskrona, right? As though we're all ready to invade or something like that. You know, where it's one of those kind of, no one's got the warning, and then it just stops. Then the announcement comes out. You know, confusion for 10 minutes, and then the ticket guy went past, and I said, "Oh, do you know what's happening?" He said, yeah, there's young, like teenagers or young are on the tracks, right? Which I didn't know if that was a thing of life in general in the world, like the youth, they are on the tracks, man. You know, I didn't know if that was something a DJ talk, like the youth are hitting the tracks, yo. But then the announcement came in English and it said, the police are trying to find 3 youths who are on the tracks. They have been throwing stones at trains, right? Stones at trains, at rocks, right? So, big delay. Then it gets to 45 minutes. And I'm sort of done now. You know what I mean? I've kind of enjoyed our time in this spot. But we need to move on, okay? It's like a relationship that's kind of stalled, you know? We liked each other at the beginning. Everything was moving along. And now we've just stopped. I just need to move on. I need to leave, right? So what they do then is they say, we've spoken to the police. And the police have said, we haven't found the youth. Right, this is all, Swedes are so honest sometimes, it just comes pouring out. The information can be a bit, you know, a bit too honest. It becomes a bit of a documentary. It's like a Cobra episode or something. It's very factual. They say, we can't find the youth, but we feel they may have left the area, right? They may have left the area. In brackets there, in quote, may have, right? They might be here, they might not be. We don't know, basically. But we're going to go through the area at a slower mile per hour. We're going to go slower through it. How wonderfully Swedish is that? I think this is going to turn into stand-up. It must turn into stand-up, right? So instead of moving fast through there, right, and getting through and getting past the area within 1 minute, we're going to go really, really slow, allowing the youth who may or may not be in the area to throw a rock at us. So everybody's kind of moved away from their seat window, and they're now like just like really freaked out that, well, you know, and the kids holding the rocks are like, that one's going really slow. We could really throw these ones, you know. So, it was amazing. We got through, and then I got to Halmstad. Halmstad was possibly one of the drunkest gigs I've done in a very, very long time. Thank you so much for having me. I'm going to say apologies to the guy, but it wasn't anything to do with me. A guy collapsed, didn't he? He collapsed in during the show. He just fell over, and then they stopped the first half. Lena Frisk was on. She was doing brilliant. And then they stopped it because they weren't sure. And they took him to the kitchen and like five or six of his mates. And then it turned out he'd wanted to see me do stand-up for ages. And then he'd collapsed. So I felt really bad. So hopefully he could come to another show I'm doing in Malmo in April. Come to that one. I think we're sorting out tickets for you. But then everyone said it was like a peanut allergy. But there was no peanuts. So that was kind of strange. But I think he just collapsed. I think he just got too hot. And then I did the show. The guy had to leave because he wasn't feeling well. Poor guy. It wasn't just one guy. It wasn't like a lap dance comedy session. Again, thank you, John, for booking that. I did the second half, and it was just chaos. There was a Dutch guy who didn't know his job. He hadn't been told his job, and there was like four guys on the corner who were just not in this world, shall we say. I think they started drinking very, very early. I think they opened a can of beer, like, and then the rooster went to start the day for the world, right? I think that's what happened. So they were properly drunk. But sometimes, and I'm not going to say every time, but not even sometimes, most times, I really enjoy that, you know? I enjoy when it's chaos. I enjoy when it's so different, because you won't ever get that in the room again. You know, you can't make that up. It's like it's like you go to the beach and there's a big wave, right? That wave you might get a similar wave, but you're not going to get that same feeling wave, you know? I hope that makes sense. But it's quite a buzz when you're just riding it, you know, you're just loving it. And you're like, you know, it's like you're in a zoo, and I'm not saying Halmstad audience was like a bunch of animals, but you're just there. You're the circus, not even the zoo master, zookeeper, zoo master. I am the zoo master. Welcome. And then you're just controlling, you're just keeping the madness going. It's great. It feels brilliant, you know? It's like you just got all different types of people, and yeah, I really, really enjoyed that. So I then, but after that, there was like four nights in a row of doing shows with tonsillitis. Okay, where I wasn't feeling well at all. Right, I don't think any audience would have guessed this at all. I didn't even tell people. Or maybe I did, which is always a different weird thing to do as well. You shouldn't really go on stage and say, "Hey, I'm not well, I'm not very good," you know, because then that gives you the gives you a sympathy vote, which is okay. Yeah, and then they're like, "But we've paid money for this, and we want a show." So. There's some, but I take that back. I think you should actually maybe say something, because if you're talking and you sound like Bruce Springsteen underwater, you know, you've got to acknowledge that. And then I went back on the train again. I'm sorry if this has just been all train journeys, but it has cracked me up. And then we were delayed again. Of course we were. I got on at Gothenburg. I changed. I don't know if this is not. I was going to say turning you on. That's not the right thing. I don't know if this is interesting. Of course it is. I went from Halmstad to Gothenburg. Changed. I had 35 minutes. My children had been ill. So what does Super Papa? I went to the toy shop. Went in and I said, I need to buy some lizards because my son is obsessed with lizards. Like little Gubin loves lizards. Can't get enough of lizards, right? I said to him the other day, you must stop watching lizards on YouTube. That's all he watches. And he said the beautiful line, but Papa, lizards are my life. Which is things that you can't write. That's what kids are like. So I went in and I said, lizard, here we go. Do you have lizards? And she just stared at me. She stared at me as though I'd stepped on her foot and I wasn't letting her foot go. It was that kind of painful expression that a Swede gives you when they're like, A, I don't understand what the shit you're talking about, and B, can you leave me alone? So, yeah, that was not good. And I was like, yeah, Ugla, you know, Ugla, Ugla. And she was like, I think she was 3 seconds away from like, security, get security here now, we have a weirdo. But I got him a butterfly thing, and then my daughter a headband, Frozen headband, obsessed. And I've told her, you know, why are you so obsessed? Why can't you let it go? Let it go. That's a joke. Big joke. Big joke. Let it go. That was actually quite a dad joke, I think. And I've just seen on the thing that the noise was really what I see in front of me. I just see a computer screen and it's like an earthquake, like Richter scale sound wave thing. And when I made that noise, I've never seen that thing happen. So I hope that didn't hurt your ears at all. So yeah, I was delayed on the way back from Gothenburg, but I got on and everybody was, not everybody, but I think it was people who had been doing the Melody Festival the night before. I don't know. I don't watch Melody Festival. It's just not me. Okay. It's just not me. I've been to Moldova and sung karaoke and it's always just Anna Book songs. So I didn't, and all these people, I didn't know if they were big stars or, you know, or they were just people that put posters up for Melody. But I thought if it crashed, I'll probably be very low down the mention, you know, be like melody comedian. So, but luckily we were delayed again. And that's when I saw a couple watching how freaky and how Matrix is this, right? They were watching Poor Spotted, you know, the train program on the train. While the train that we were on was delayed and the Poor Sporter episode was about New Zealand. I mean, I don't know if you're sitting down now, But that's a mind blower. Hurry good. How much of a parallel universe is that? That's Poor Sport It. New Zealand, delayed train, they're watching, I'm watching them watch New Zealand. Just the circle just keeps going round. You can't stop that circle. I haven't seen the episode, but I tried to watch it through, but you know, you feel a bit weird, don't you? You're behind them, and there's like a couple, and they're being like romantic in a Swedish kind of watching a train show way. And I, you know, you don't want to be like, Ursäkta, move your head, I just missed that bit. And I couldn't hear it either. They had the shared headphones, so I couldn't keep on, you know, tapping the guy on the shoulder going, you turn it up a bit, mate. So that was cool. This week I have a show in Stockholm with Oslipat. Again, trying out ideas, trying new stuff. So if you want to watch some new stuff, come to that. Oslipat.com. And I think all the information is on my website, alpitcher.com. If you don't or can't, I've got these shows coming up, right? I've got Uppsala, Best of My Bits, right? This will be Best of My Bits? No. That will not get me tickets sold. Here's the Best of My Bits. Just photos of my bits. Here's just underneath my left nipple. That's my favourite bit. Yeah, just my favourite bits of comedy that I've done. And that is Uppsala. That's April 1 and 2. Tickets, again, alpitcher.com. If you want to go to that, that'd be great. That is a kind of a warm-up, but the show will be ready. It'll be really good, right? But that is in preparation to record the show, and that show is called How Sweet Am I? How sweet am I? How sweet am I? And that's at Reval in Stockholm. There's also loads of other shows, but this is the one that I really need you to come along to or tell people. That's at Reval, April 15th and 16th, a Friday and a Saturday, and it's going to be recorded. We're going to film it. How cool's that? I really hope you can come. Go to Ticknet, go to alpitcher.com, come to that, tell people, you know, it'll be like a kind of like a 5-6 year celebration of my comedy. And if that doesn't sell the show, I don't know what will. Thank you so much for listening. Episode 24. I think this has been a good one. If you have enjoyed it, tell someone, retweet it, share it, Facebook it, tag it, download it. Revolve it, spread it, take it, taksimiket. Hej då. Get well. Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.